We're going to pick up with a second half conversation a couple of weeks ago that Mike and I had on retirement planning. Is it harder than it used to be? That's going to be a follow-up conversation this week on the podcast. As always, you are listening to Strategic Planning with Mike Flanner, so stick around for part two.
Welcome to the Strategic Planning Podcast with financial coach Mike Flanders. With more than 40 years of experience in the financial services industry, Mike knows the X's and O's that'll help you achieve your financial goals. It's time for the Strategic Planning Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the podcast, Strategic Planning with Mike Flanders and myself. And after a couple week delay, Mike and I couldn't remember if we totally teed this thing up to be a two-parter or not, but we're doing it anyways. We're gonna hang out and talk about stuff. Mike, is that a sign of getting old? I'm not sure. What's going on? We can't remember things.
Yeah, I can't even remember what we did last evening, so I don't know. No, I did watch a little basketball last evening.
Okay,
so we're
okay.
In the middle of March Madness and all, and so
yeah, that's true. That's
time we're been taking into that for a while, and I've just kind of gotten into it this year.
So. Okay, nothing wrong with that. That's good.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, who are you pulling for? Should I ask?
Well, yeah, there's the excitement of NC State coming through in the ACC tournament and winning that, and then getting in and gotten to the Sweet 16. And I haven't looked at the bracket close enough to see if it's possible that they play UNC Carolina the final or in the Final Four, if not the championship game. But wouldn't that be cool? Anyway, I'm torn between Carolina and State, but I just love having the ACC teams in there. So that's wonderful.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, we'll see how it rolls. At the time we're taping this, this is actually the 25th. We'll be dropping this on the 28th. So I'm sure, there's real good chance that your prediction could be good or not good in just a couple of days' time.
That's right. So, exactly.
Well,
I want to shout out to my mother-in-law today. It's her 92nd birthday today when we're recording this.
Oh, nice.
She's with her three daughters having a blast.
Well, so. Kudos to her. That's fantastic. Yes. Happy birthday. Well, let's pick up with retirement planning. Is it harder than it used to be? But maybe we should have had her come on the podcast with us.
I know.
She could have talked
about that.
Yeah, she's been around a while. So we kind of talked through 1 through 5. We kind of went through some things like job stability and loyalty, housing market situations, less reliance on personal savings, higher interest rates, so on and so forth. So we've got a few more on here we could talk about. So let's pick it up with lower healthcare costs. I mean, again, if the concept being that it used to be easier, and I think we kind of set this up, Mike, that we both agreed that it's not necessarily harder today than it used to be, but it's definitely more complex, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it is.
Yeah. So let's talk about healthcare costs, because certainly those are clearly higher today than what they used to be, and also way more complex.
Oh yeah, for sure. Back in the late 70s, when I got into the business, I was in the insurance side of things at first, and doing some health insurance, and it was so ridiculously easy. I mean, it took nothing to write up an application for somebody to have health insurance. And I mean, I hate to tell you folks, but I mean, it was like 2-digit numbers for the premium. I mean,
right.
It was under $100. And for young people particularly, I mean, it was like in the low 2-digit numbers, almost 1-digit. It's hilarious. But anyway, the costs were significantly lower. It was much easier. You didn't have to do things at a certain time and don't miss a deadline or whatever. If you needed coverage, you needed coverage. You went and got the coverage. Today, it's you've got a window when you can enroll. And that, by the way, makes it even more difficult for people that are wanting to review their coverage and understand what they need to be doing either the same or different this year based on changes that they've had. And they have to monitor their income levels. And with all that happening in just a short window of time, typically, in that October to December range, mm-hmm. Got these guys that are insurance agents that are just slammed. And it's hard to get their time to be able to really spend with you. And so, government interference here is really hindered.
Yeah.
The ability of people to get the kind of advice that they need and make a good decision.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then they're stuck to a great degree. There are some opportunities to make some changes, but it's not. And of course, costs have gone just astronomically out of sight.
Everything has. Yeah.
Yeah, it really has. So it's a little bit easier in the past to deal with this kind of stuff. You know, you kind of had your group coverage through your employer if that was the case, or if you didn't have that sort of opportunity, it's easy to buy coverage. It wasn't that expensive. And then you got to 65, you went on Medicare and you had a supplement and you move on down the road. But it's a little more complex now.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you're talking about getting out of control with just pricing in general. I just saw somebody do a classic, had a classic post of an old school Burger King receipt. It's all worn and everything. You can certainly tell. But it was like 3 Whoppers, a couple of fries, and a couple of drinks for $8.
Oh, my word.
And some change, right? And so they had the comparison up that 3 Whoppers and, you know, the same kind of thing today is like $28.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So just kind of, you know, wild. And that's just food, and that's just fast food, let alone healthcare, which typically outpaces normal inflation, not to mention the crazy inflation that we're in. So
Exactly. Certainly
got to deal with that. And so number 7 on my list, or our total list here, Mike, was there were, you know, back in the day, there might have been some fewer sandwich generation challenges. Now, I think a lot of people still might have been taking care of their multiple generations of family. So the sandwich generation, for those folks who aren't sure, is whenever you're taking care of your elderly parents as well as your adult children a little bit. And that's certainly become a bigger problem over the last, you know, 20 years than it was 40 years ago. Even if it happened 40 years ago, Mike, everything was cheaper. So it didn't feel as daunting, I think, as it feels now. I mean, you just got through talking about your 92-year-old mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. You know, what if she was living with you and you guys were caring for her and you had a grown child living in the house and caring for them as well, right? Many families have gone through that. I went through that myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've been there and done that. It was grandchildren and parent.
Right, right.
A couple of years ago. But trying to help out with the situation with a severe illness with a child, another grandchild. But, yeah, speaking of Burger King and sandwich generations, that kind of goes well together, doesn't it?
That's true. I didn't even think about that. But, you know, when you mentioned the illness, that's one thing, right? But unfortunately, what's been happening is it's just due to just general economics. It's not like anybody is ill. They just, you can't afford to be totally apart because you have to kind of combine your expenses.
Right.
It's just out of control right now with inflation. I mean, this really ties into inflation, I think, dealing with multiple people in the home at the same time.
You know, it used to be, and you know, I guess we can talk about this more in a minute, but used to be people didn't live as long, so you didn't have as long to have parents.
Yep.
And kids tended to get married earlier and out of the house sooner.
Yeah, great point.
And more time to establish themselves and get financially in a position where you weren't feeling under pressure to help them. But, you know, now with later marriages than it used to be, I mean, my word, my wife and I got married at 20 and they thought we were babies. I mean, you know.
Yeah. But, and that might have been late at that, you know, at that point.
It
for
could
some
have been
people.
Back then. That's right.
I mean, yeah, my mom, I think, got married at 17, you know, back in the late 1958, something like that, 57. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So just.
So, you know, yeah, there's a lot of different pressures now that people have. And of course, you know, there's a lot more in the way of housing opportunities for elder parents that need care, that if it gets to the point where they...
Which is great, but back to our prior point, Mike, it's costly as all get out.
But then, exactly. That's exactly where I was going. But, you know, then you say, my word, we're going to use up all the money and, you know, don't want to depend
we're
on...
We're broke.
Qualifying for the government and all that kind of stuff, you know? So, I mean, there are a lot of pressures and questions people have to deal with. And, you know, it's a great idea to kind of think about that ahead of time rather than just getting caught with it and having to figure out something.
We have right now,
my mother-in-law lives with us 3 weeks and then goes to another sister or daughter of hers, another sister, my wife's. And then for 3 weeks, and then 3 weeks at a third. We happen to be very fortunate. There's 3 girls in that family, and they all are in such a health that they're able to have her. She's still able to move about and travel like that. But it's getting closer to a point in time where that's not going to be the case. And so we've been working on that for some time. What's going to be the next step? And people need to think about those things. And not that you have to map it all out and have a plan that's not flexible, but you got to be flexible and you got to figure out these things ahead of time if you want less stress in your life.
Yeah. You know, and we won't spend a lot of time on it since you touched on the life expectancies, but that's clearly obvious, right? We're living longer today than we have ever, you know, in the past. I don't know if people might disagree that we're living better. I think overall we probably are living better, but they are keeping us alive a little longer for whatever.
Yeah. You know, they are. And there's other things that come into play because of that, you know.
Definitely.
Add to the health issues and that sort of thing. But, you know, it's interesting, and we may have talked about this in the past, but when Social Security was initially established, it was 59 was about the average life expectancy, and 65 was when you could start drawing. So, the life expectancies were much less back in the 1930s when our grandparents, our parents were born.
Right.
It's much longer than that. 59 then is in the 70s now. I've even heard where it's in the 80s at some point, but I don't know how COVID affected that. But anyway, it's much longer now.
Well, and to that, you said multiple problems come into play with that. So that'll take us to our ninth point here, which is, you know, more contributors then to Social Security than now, which sounds kind of weird. You go, wait a minute, there's way more people now, so way more people are contributing. Yeah, true. Technically, I suppose the general total numbers are, Mike, but I think it used to be something crazy like, I'll just make this up, but I think it was something pretty high, like 30 some odd people or something like that for every one or two that was taken out. And it's something crazy like three or four or five now for every person taking out. So in that respect, those numbers have shifted and not as many people are pumping into Social Security and more people are taking out because, well, we're living longer, we just talked about.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that is a major problem with why Social Security is projected to run out of trust fund money, which is basically just special treasury bills where the government owes that money. But 2034. Kind of interesting. It's about 100 years from the time Social Security started that it's projected to run out of money, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's 10% of what was originally projected as far as the number of workers supporting one recipient of benefits. And so we're down from the 30s to three.
Three. Okay. Right. All right. I was close. Yeah.
Yeah. You were. Yeah. Exactly.
Which is kind of terrifyingly sad, you know. You know, for every three people pumping in, one person is pulling out. And again, that's because there's so many, you know, some people say, well, that's because there's so many boomers and the boomer generation, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't really matter what the difference is, why, it just is what it is, plus longevity added in there. So we have got to figure out, you know, how to be more self-sustaining. And if you go back to some of our earlier points, some of that stuff was like less reliance on personal savings back then, which we need more reliance on personal savings now. And even that conversation goes to Social Security as well. Whether they make changes, whether it's different, Mike, for your kids or grandkids than it is for you or I is completely, you know, that's debatable. I think it's going to be there in some form or fashion, but how much it's going to be there is certainly up in the air.
That's right. Yeah. I think politically it's very difficult for them to get rid of it, obviously.
Right.
And they don't want to cut it, but you know, there's going to be some things they have to make some decisions about, and they've done it before, back in the
80s. They wait till the last second, but they do. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And the sooner they get started, the easier it is.
What'd you say? 2034, which means they'll start in 2034.
Yeah. That's right.
They'll make a change to it about 3 months ahead of time.
Yeah, maybe that soon. They might have to delay and do a special funding for it or something.
Yeah, who knows? All sorts of crazy stuff in there. So, you know, finally, I think the last piece here in today that's certainly a pro versus some of these other things that sounded like a lot of negatives, a lot of cons to be it being easier in the past is it's certainly much easier today to get yourself financially literate. Right? There's really no excuse for in today's era for you not to be kind of up on where you need to be getting yourself planning for your own retirement. That doesn't mean you shouldn't get help from a qualified professional like you, Mike, but it's certainly easier for us to get a lot of information. This podcast is one, for example, right? Mm-hmm. There's lots of ways for people to get smarter about their finances now, more now than ever before. I get it. There's a lot of disinformation out there, a lot of confusing information, but the point still is there's a lot of great ways to, you know, to really kind of wise up should you want to take that path.
Yes. In the past, there weren't that many decisions that had to be made. We talked about it last time. You know, there were pensions, there's Social Security, Didn't have to rely as much as you just mentioned on personal savings to be able to meet your living expenses. You know, the personal savings were the gravy that lets you do the other things you wanted to do on top of that.
Right.
But, you know, today there are so many options. And, you know, I think the biggest challenge, other than, you know, social media and all the alluring ads for different kinds of financial products and things you can do to try and get rich quick or make up a bundle or whatever.
Right, right.
One of the biggest problems is the change that's constantly occurring and keeping up with it. I'll hear people talk about things like, don't I need to start taking out my minimum amount for my IRA this year because I'm turning 70 and a half? And they say, oh, wait, no, I heard it was 72 now. Well, no, actually, it's 73, you know, right. Things like that.
And it's going to possibly be 75, right, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, all these different changes. And that's just one of many. And so that's a difficult thing, is to keep up with it. And, you know, I find, like, sometimes I'll Google something, and I don't actually even use Google. I use DuckDuckGo. But anyway, I'll go out there and do a search for something, and it'll have – And I'll tell you, really, where it's the worst is on the IRS website. You go to the IRS website and you look for something, and they'll have an old piece out there that is out of date telling you
that thing. Now, wait a minute, Mike. You mean that the IRS doesn't make things easy?
No.
Oh, my gosh. I am shocked.
I'm dead serious. And so you got to be careful, you know, because they'll be giving you some information that has been changed since then. And not that the right information is not there, but if you just
but you might see the article, wrong, you might see the wrong information too.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff working against you to get the right information, but there is a lot of information out there you can get now with all the technology we have.
Yeah, for sure. And again, that's why you then take something from listening to our podcast or other shows, or, you know, the talking heads on TV, or even the IRS website, whatever it might be, and then you go sit down with a qualified professional and say, okay, right, here's the 6 or 7 bullet points that I jotted down that really concern me, right? This is what's really worrying me. And that's when your financial professional, like Mike, helps you walk through those concerns and start crafting that plan and that strategy to make retirement hopefully easier today than, you know, than you think it might be for your future together, right? You walk through that path together. And that's why it's important to sit down and have a conversation, folks. So as always, we'll wrap it up with that. If you need some help, reach out to Mike at spcinvesting.com. You know, is it harder today than it used to be? Probably not. Again, it's probably just more complex, but certainly a lot of challenges. And that's why, again, a qualified pro is what you need to do, is what you need to talk to. And Mike's been doing this for 40 some odd plus years, so a great resource for you to tap into. Of course, we had Philip on the show last week as well. He's got a team helping him out. So reach out. If you got those questions, need some help, spcinvesting.com. That's spcinvesting.com, or call him at 336-668-4338 for a consultation and a conversation. And don't forget to subscribe to Strategic Planning Podcast on Apple or Spotify or YouTube, whatever platform you like using. Mike, thanks for hanging out, my friend. I always appreciate you.
Sounds great. I'm going to go grab a piece of cake and blow out a candle.
Oh, yeah. Now, see, I want some cake. Did you bring enough for the class?
Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Yes. Everybody just come on up.
Okay. All right. We'll see you next time, folks. Thanks so much for hanging out with Mike and I. We'll catch you later here on Strategic Planning.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.